to the Mug Meetings Summaries podcast. Michael Dube presented the second of our three RTFM topics on September 14th. Here's Michael.
Michael is going to do sort of a follow-up on Adam's presentation in June on awk, taking the awk to the next level.
Okay.
Go ahead, Michael.
So, it's interesting that awk is still around after all of these years. A few years ago, I thought it would surely be replaced by Perl, but nonetheless, you find things coming out where people are using awk to do this and that. So I guess it's still a topic worthy of discussion. It is one of the oldest programs in Unix. I went to the basement and found this thing down here. the old veterans really go, oh, I remember that. I also found the receipt for August 24th, 1989. So I was apparently using that as a bookmark from the McGraw-Hill bookstore. May it rest in peace. So awk is really an old program, and it allows you to do lots of things. The basic idea of awk, or its variants, awk was new awk, and gawk is GNU awk. The basic idea is the following. You're taking a text file, and you're going to input it line by line into the awk program. It's going to do something with it and then push it to the output. And the awk is meant to do this kind of manipulation. And actually, when you look at awk, the number of options available is very small when you're calling the file. Typically, these are the only three that you would ever use. When you run awk, it's awk with a dash, little f, dash, capital F, dash, V. F means, little f means from a script file, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. The dash, capital F is the field separator, which we'll also talk about in a few minutes. And finally, you can send variables into the program from the command line. So in essence, there are very few options. And in fact, when you want to run this awk command, there's actually not a huge number. It's not a huge language, but the things that are there are remarkably useful. So an awk command, which on the command line would be in between these two little prime symbols there, typically look like the following. You have a pattern, and if the line that's being read in matches that pattern, then it executes these awk commands that follow. The pattern can be a regular expression, so it can be very general, or it could be empty, which means match every line. And actually, being empty is one that's used a lot. Similarly, the awk commands can also be empty. The default is to print whatever line has come in. So, for example, if you want to print every line that matches this pattern, you can use an empty command there. Or you can say print, as we'll see. And the file on the end, well, you can name the file or a series of files as part of the command line. So that's a way of deciding where the input, the line-by-line input, is coming from, either from a file here or from standard input. So this pretty much fits the paradigm of what you do when you're running Unix programs. Now, so what happens when you read in a line? Well, there are certain variables that get set for you. And the whole idea of awk is that you kind of manipulate these variables and use them. These four are by far the most common you use, although there are others that we'll look at in a few moments. So first of all, when you input a line, it's held in a variable called $0. There is a variable called NF, number of fields, which tells you the number of fields in a line. So what are the fields in a line? Well, by default, the number of fields are the things that are separated by white space. So they are what you would think of as words on the line. NR, that's the record number, so that's the number of the line you're reading in. So the first line you read in is 1, and then 2, and so forth. And finally, you have these fields, $1, $2, $3, up to $NF, are the individual fields that you've read in. So this really fits into the pattern of other things you've seen with the shell and so forth. So I thought I'd just throw out a few command lines that work really easily. So, for example, here's an awk command that would print the first two fields in reverse order. So $1 is the first thing that's in, $2 is the second thing that's in. Incidentally, you know, notice there's no comma or anything in there, and you could put a comma in there, and it would make a difference, and you might ask what the difference could be. Good question. Well, should we try one and see? Well, let's see. Let me take this out of full screen. So, yeah, we can. Can we still see that there? Well, gone now. Okay. Put that in the background. Okay, so this. You remember we had this for SED? Still here, so we might as well use it, right? So, if we want to look at an awk command like we did before, so we wanted to print $1 space $2, we send. Okay, so that's the end of the awk command, and we can take the. Oops. So, if we ask it to do that, well, you can see what's happened. So, the one, that's actually in the file, the one is the $1, the British is $2, and Columbia is $3. So, when we did $1, I was going to do $2, $1, wasn't I? So, I did them in the same order. Okay, so, no problem, we'll just change it. So, so we were going to do $2, $1, and it does in the opposite order, right? And what do you think is going to happen if you put a comma in? Anybody know? Yeah, someone does know. Okay, so it adds the white space, right? So it's breaking up. Actually, if you put $1, $2, the awk will actually concatenate those. So that's why it comes out as one. Okay, so you can do either one, whichever one you want. Okay, so that's. Can we read this? I think so. Yeah. Okay, so. That's another example. If we want to know the number of words per line, NF, you remember I told you it was the number of fields? So if we do the same thing here and we print, why don't we take the same file and we'll print NF, what's going to happen, it's going to read each line in and it's going to print the number of fields in that line, right? So that means the first line had 3 fields, that was one British Columbia, remember, and the last one was 10...
Labrador.
No, thank you. Newfoundland Labrador. Oh, yes, it's right up here. Okay, so you can see that once these things are put in, you can do things like print them, and as we'll see, a number of other things. Now, here's another pattern. We haven't had any patterns so far, but this is there are two patterns that are used a lot. They're the begin and end. End means what the command that follows it is run after all the lines have been written in, and as you hit end of file. Begin, as you might guess, is done before everything comes in. So if we ask to print NR at the end of the file, that's going to print, so we can do end, has to be capital, and print NR, so it'll print the number of records, right? So no big surprise. Actually, you remember, I still have this thing from before, we had Pride and Prejudice, the text of Pride and Prejudice, so we can do the same thing, and it's got 13,031 lines altogether, right? So, big files, and this thing really works fast, as you can see on files of any reasonable size. Okay, so other things you can do. You can use awk, as you might guess, in conjunction with in conjunction with pipes. It'll send things to standard output. So this is going to take awk. We saw this printed the number of fields per line. We're going to run it through a numeric sort. Unique-C does the count of each one. So where were we? We had the... No, I did that. The number of fields. Yeah, okay. So this was the one that gave you the number of fields, right? Okay, so if we take the number of things and we sort it numerically and we run it through unique with a count, it'll give you 5 with 2, 3 with 3, 2 with 4, right? So, we could do the same thing with Pride and Prejudice, right? Except that's a little bit bigger file. That's with the 13,000 lines, so but that doesn't take too long either. So, so incidentally, you might wonder why zero doesn't turn up. That's a good question. And normally it would. You could have a line with no characters, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll leave that as a mystery. No, I'll tell you. it's because this file I downloaded, I sort of quickly downloaded from the NEC, and it's a DOS file. So you have character turn line theme, so you have an extra character in there. Okay, I've given away the secret. Okay, so you can see from these things exactly what the pattern is that you're trying to do. Here's another type of thing. So you remember, this is sort of everyone's favorite example, so maybe I'll do this one too. The file we're working with is the et cetera password file. So if we look at that, this is something we've all seen before. So you have these things with, like, here's me. Right? So that doesn't help. So you have the user ID, the one time the password fit in there, numbers associated with group and user, name, blah, blah, blah. And the last thing is the shell that you log into. So you might say, you can see when I log into, I use the bash shell. And you might want to ask how many other people use the bash shell. And this is exactly the kind of thing that awk does so well. So if we run awk, the file separator is now colon, which means that this here, that the first record will just be this mdo. And then that's the file separator. And the second one will be x, and the third one will be 1,000. And that's exactly where you use the file separator. Okay? So if we run awk with the dash capital F colon, sorry, file separator, first we'll do print. So the first record is $1, put a comma for space, and as it happens, $7 is the last one that comes out. So if we do that, then didn't put the file name in. Let's try it again. Et cetera, password. Then you see what happens. We get the first one and the last one. Yeah, here's me with the bash there. Now, remember the original question was how many of them actually use bash? And here's an example where you have a matching thing. So the general pattern is you look to see if you match the thing that's in front, and then you run the thing. So if we take this and put a matching criterion in front, so we'll put slash bash. So actually, you can use regular expressions with this. Then it'll find the ones where bash matches. Okay, so yeah, you got the idea, right? So in terms of the command line, this is sort of typical things. Here's cute. Yeah. So again, these you can spill out these sort of one-liners, as they call, one after another. They're great fun. Yeah, so here's the thing, right? It imitates WC. So you know what WC does. It's the word count, right? So if you do word count on our province file, it gives you three numbers, the number of lines, the number of words, the number of characters. And the point of this is that you're doing the same thing with awk here. And this is just an example where you can see how you assign. You have n-word. When you have variables in awk, they're completely untyped. You can do anything you want, which means you can do things just as badly as you want and probably will at some point. At any rate, so when n-word shows up here, which is, n-word is, you don't know whether it's a string or real, you know, everything that comes out of context. And we add, in each line, we add the number of fields that are there. Incidentally, there is a plus equals, but I didn't do that. And if you want to add the number of characters, you add the length of the line. $0 was the whole line, right? Plus one for the line feed. And then when you get to the end, you print what you have, and that gives you the WC. So did I set that? No, I didn't make this text readable, I guess. Eh? No, too bad. Okay, I don't think I want to copy that. So,
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. Oh, actually, let's just. I did do. What was this?
Is it in your history?
Yeah. Yeah, it might be. But I type these things out. Is this great or what? Okay, so I have this little script here to make sure I don't forget, and I had to type the script somewhere, and I actually left it in the right spot. So I guess what we want to do is get this line and... let's forget it. So...
Pride and Prejudice.
So, yeah. Oh, Pride and Prejudice? Well,
we'll do provinces.
We'll do provinces, and hopefully we get...
Yep.
Oh, right. How about Pride and Prejudice? It's, that may take a little longer, but actually none of these things take too long. No, not too long. Okay, so...
Adam can take it.
What?
Until Adam can take it.
Yeah, you bet. Okay, so you get the idea, okay? So it's always pattern match, pattern execute. Okay, so, now, Ed Adam talked about some of these things before, but so I'll just amplify this a little bit. Now, the nice thing about awk is that you can use it with script files, too. And that's really part of the power. You can really get some pretty complicated programs, and I'll give you some examples. So, first of all, if you want to use a script file, there are sort of two ways that you use it. I mentioned the dash F option before, so you can give the script file. You just have the list of your awk commands, and you read them in that way. But I think more commonly is you use the sort of Unix things where you use the sharp bang, and then you have to find where awk actually is. You need this dash F, or I guess it tries to read with standard input if you don't put it in there. I don't know. But you do need it. So so I'll give you an example of some of these. And actually, this is... I'll show you something. One thing that I've used awk for years, more than a decade, is to do all my handling of grades, you know, assigning grades and things like that. What I did here was I made a copy. We now get our class list online, and there are CSV files, as you might guess, comma-separated values. So it's meant to run in some sort of spreadsheet, but of course, I never do that. So this is sort of what you would get. For the more advanced students who might not be interested in what I'm saying, of course, this is actually a real file. I mean, of course, I just started teaching this past week. But you notice the names have XXXX, comma, and each letter is replaced by an X. And also, over here, when you look at the email addresses, and of course, I changed it from the real file to this using awk, using only regular expressions. So if you want to muse for a few seconds, you might ask how I did that. Okay, but for those of you who aren't interested in that, this is...
You missed the middle
initial. I did, and there's a reason for that, but I could have, but that was too much work. The point was to make this anonymous. But I'll show you...
Is this the point at which you show us how you use random functions in awk to assign
your
grades?
Well, I could show you that. because this is the derivative of throwing them down the stairs, the exams down the stairs. So the point is you want to have a script that takes something that looks like this and it ends up with something like that, right? So that's a nicely lined up, and of course the X's would be the real names in there, and so forth. Okay, so the... And we also have this little title up on the top. So the question is, how can you do that to make it into a script and so that it'll work every time and is general enough for what you want? So that's a question that we will answer. In the meantime, so for those of you who aren't interested in the little problems and want to think about that, I'll let you think about that a little bit. Okay, now back to the straight stuff here. So here's an example of what would be a three-line file that you could run. So you remember we had begin and end as pattern matches. So at the beginning of the file, it says while get line. So this is while is a standard thing. Get line means read the next line. And as it's implemented in Gawk, it is a function and not a macro. And that means it's going to return a value. So that means this thing will continue to run until you hit the end of file and then it stops. So the while get line simply says just read through the file. Awk allows you to blindly assign anything to anything. So A with square brackets is a vector or a matrix or anything, a list. And the NR entry, and incidentally you have associative arrays, so it could be anything in there. So the NR entry turns into zero. So basically you have A of 1, A of 2, A of 3 being all the lines of the file, And at the end, well, remember, NR is now the number of records, so we just run it down and print them out again, and everything comes out backwards, right? So with a sort of trivial thing, is that in this list too? Ah, yes, I think it is. So let's go back to that grep thing. Oh, there it was. And what is something that was in there?
NR minus minus.
Yeah, that would probably do it. So NR minus minus. Yeah, there it is. Okay. So this is the thing we want to use. Oh, it's set up with provinces too. Okay, that's great. Okay, so we have that list of provinces from 1 to 10. Okay, so if we run this, you love that? AUK is very natural. I mean, these things come out really easily. Okay, so, of course, this is actually done as one line, but typically I just wanted to show how you can start to build these things up into scripts. So, in other words, prints the words on a line backwards. So you would have, that's again, a simple one, just one line. And what do? You read in the line, you set a variable, so you have for loops, just like in C. So you set K into the number of fields, you run it down, and you print out everything backwards. So that's that. Maybe I should give an example with that.
Why?
What? Why? Well, maybe not.
I was just thinking, why couldn't you just do a while NF?
You can, but you have to be a little careful, because if NF hits zero, it creates an error. That's a quirk with AUK. But,
okay.
So it's close, but...
How come your grades have 10 digits instead of A, B, C, D, E, F?
Those are the student numbers.
Oh, okay.
Those are the student numbers. But, okay, so, well, man, I guess I don't have to do that. So,
precise grades. Not accurate, but precise.
So, well, let's just see if... I don't think I have any... okay, so... Oh, yeah, this one. Okay, so here's our... That's the short form of that command that we had there, so let's put that up. And if we do that with provinces, then one British Columbia. So you see they're reading backwards. They come out backwards, right? They just keep saying, oh, actually, tail. Okay, so that's the last 12. Is that the default for tail? 12 lines of Pride and Prejudice. So let's feed that into this thing here. Come on, go back there. So this was tail. Then we pipe it. Okay, so, yeah, pointing to this doesn't help. That, you see what the last lines are there, so we run it the other way. You see, did everything work out? Yes,
no.
But yeah, look at this. So to see how his wife conducted herself, it says to see how his wife conducted, but notice the herself has a semicolon at the end instead of, so the punctuation is on the right side, and of course white space is the separator. So
where's the point? Sense. You're losing the last
word.
The last
word?
Oh, what happened? Oh, did I do something wrong here? Maybe I, was the count off by
it's
one
your
here?
For loop, put an equal sign into greater than or equal.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Here. Even equal here.
Yeah.
You doing better?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Did
I miss something wrong?
$0. Yeah. Gives you the whole line.
Okay. Yeah. Stop giving me suggestions. we'll leave it in its imperfect way.
Yeah. Maybe the carriage returns are throwing it off.
Yeah. That's true too. But the point I was making is that the punctuation will come out on the wrong way. Okay, so let me finish up here with some other examples. Let me give a
actually
that
you know what? Sorry, Mike, I'm going to interrupt you because Gilbert just
did I do
figured out
wrong?
No, Gilbert just figured out that your code is absolutely correct.
Oh, wow.
And just illustrated a problem with DOS to UNIX line feed conversion. The last word on every line ends in a carriage return, as far as AUK is concerned.
Yes, that's quite Right.
So it's writing that last word out first, doing the carriage return, and then overwriting it with the following words.
Yes. That's exactly right.
DOS strikes again.
Don't you love the DOS world? I really should have converted this, but I didn't. Okay, so let me just give one other example. So this is actually blue. Yeah. So yeah, actually the wrong path on here. But this is actually something I really use actually. So once you have these things put out into separate lines, you can everything falls into various places on the command line. And then you just run things through. You know, if there is a final grade, you set the number grade by computing, I guess, half the first grade plus the second grade plus 60% of the third grade. Or else you give them an MP, which is no paper. You skip that. And then we decide what the lowest grades are, and then you assign them. And then you sort of loop through the different values. And you print. Right? The final number grade, the final letter grade, and $0. So that means the original line now has the number grade and the final grade attached onto it. But that's not all. When we get to the end, we print exactly what the lowest grades were, and you get this nice little file. And I use that part at the bottom all the time because students come in and say, oh, how many more do I need for a C+? I really need that C+. And I say, oh, it's so sorry that it's so far away. So okay, so sort of the, of course I could go through, we could spend an hour going through the details of the code. It all is very C-like, and it's all pretty easy to use. It's all very loosey-goosey in that, you can do terrible things and it'll be perfectly happy. So you have to have a certain amount of discipline and a certain amount of checking. But you can see you can make these scripts. I have some that I've used for my office work that are pages and pages long, and they work perfectly well and they work perfectly fast. So it is an alternative.
How many of your fellow professors use spreadsheets for their grades?
Most of them. Almost all of them, as far as I know. Only antiques, are resistant. But
and you're the only awk Riddling.
Yeah, I think. So yes, I'm from this era. That's when books were
setting
books.
Up the
curve. Yeah, right. Well, maybe we'll push down those lower D's again. Make it 5 here. Okay, so that's sort of
all right. Thank you, Michael. Okay. Thank you.
That's it for this podcast. Thanks for listening. For more MUG meeting summaries, or for more information about the Manitoba Unix User Group, check out our website. You can find it at muug.mb.ca.